We're so grateful for this opportunity to be here this morning for each and every one who have found it in your heart, busy schedule, to come out to God's house. You know, I thought about when we were standing, giving the Pledge of Allegiance and sang some of the songs commemorating our country and those that went and defended it. Thought about a saying that I'd heard, and I believe it was delivered by Benjamin Franklin at the First Continental Congress, or the first time they met, knowing that they were going to face a great, great, I don't know how to describe it, but a great war with Great Britain. Not that we don't like Great Britain now, but back then, there was a need for freedom. Benjamin Franklin said, "Brethren," as he addressed that delegation, he said, "We must all hang together, or we will all hang separately." And you know, that's even for a church, even for all of us. You know, I think we live in such a diverse time now that we must all hang together, or we're going to be out here just in confusion. And I'm so glad of this church endeavoring to keep, as we'll read a little bit later on, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm so thankful for that, because that's a rare thing anymore. I'd like to read some scripture that's found in the 17th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Now, this, of course, is Jesus speaking on the last of the time that he would spend with his disciples. Where we're going to start is at the 9th verse, 17th chapter, 9th verse. And a lot of people will say that this is the Lord's Prayer. And you know, I kind of believe that today. Because when you read it, when you think about it, it was not only a statement that he was making to his disciples, but it was also a prayer unto his Father. A prayer for them. And realize that today, it was a prayer for us. Like the song that says, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." And when he was about to go to the cross, Elkton Church was on his mind and on his heart. Starting with the 9th verse, he says these words, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me." And notice what he said. Now, I want you to take this to heart. "For they are mine, and they are thine." You are his today. "And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy name, thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Now, if we could interject something in there, it would be Selah. Meditate upon this and take it to heart. "While I was with them in the world, I gave them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, thy word, and the world hath hated them." And they'll hate us too. "Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, or I set myself apart for this very purpose in this very role that I'm about to face and go through, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Correctly read includes the 9th down through the 21st verses of the 17th chapter of the book of John. Now our text and part of what we'll center upon today will come from the 21st verse, where that it says that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And our thought and our theme, if you will come from just the very nature of what we've read in your hearing, and also what we're going to find in the other epistles. Keep the unity going. In other words, keep on keeping on, even as we have been set apart for such a time as this. That's kind of become my mantra. Everything that we preach about, everything that we bring forward is for such a time as what we're living in today. We're living in a time that's unlike any other in history. And you know, as Brother Ron read in his poetry about the wars that took place in World War I, the war that was supposed to end all wars, a lull that was there until World War II started, people thought it was such a harrowing time, and it was. But I think today, my friend, we ourselves are living in kind of a harrowing time. There are things we never thought we'd see possible. And you might say today, well, preacher, we understand that. And you brought that to our attention before. But I want you to know, like Benjamin Franklin's words, we better hang together, or we're going to hang separately, or we are going to be just out here adrift, just out here in darkness, if you will. The kingdom that we are in today is not of this world. God's kingdom is not of this world. You can see that in what people now espouse and believe in and what they do. Then it's completely contrary to what the Bible teaches us and what God has said in His Word. And even if you read the Beatitudes, you can see some of the things that it says is contrary to what the world will say. I used to have a friend in pharmacy school, and I think, and I hope he was joking, but he said to me one time, he said, "Paul, don't get mad about anything, just get even." And that's what the world says today. Instead of turning the other cheek, that's what Jesus says today. And He is our example. You see, that comes from a mandate from a kingdom and a ruler today that is not of this world, but a kingdom nevertheless. We have dual citizenship. Do you know that? I had a friend that was had dual citizenship in one country, and then he was a citizen of this country. So it's quite possible. But we're duals. We have a dual citizenship because we are in this world, in this country, in this state, in this county. But for the redeemed, there is another kingdom that we are members of. You're members of another kingdom. You're ambassadors of another kingdom. You're representative of God to this world. That's why that he's left you in this world, that the gospel that we preach from this pulpit might go forth into a lost and dying world. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate only understood Roman rule. Divide and conquer. Conquer the entire world. That's all that he knew. But whenever that Pilate asked him this question, he said to Jesus, he said, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus said unto him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my followers fight that I should not be delivered over into the hands of the Jews or the Jewish authorities in that day and time. But he said, now is my kingdom not from hence." You're a member of that kingdom. If you've been saved, you have been brought into that kingdom. You're a child of God. You're a co-heir along with Jesus Christ. And as we preached last Sunday, you have that capability. You have that within you that you can show Christ-likeness unto a world today that is in such darkness, such wickedness. They are bound in sin. And you might say, like others have said, "I just give up. They're not going to listen." But my friend, we are to keep on keeping on, pressing on, preaching the gospel, representing the gospel. Don't get discouraged. Because in due season, the Bible says, we will reap if we faint not. We are not of this world. Do you know who your king is today? You might say, "Oh, that, you mean over in England?" No, not Charles, in all due respect to him. But your king today is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a title today. He has a title that goes from past eternity on into future eternity. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He was present and there creating this universe. I am always amazed when I look at pictures of what the outer parts of the universe are, and they say it is so far away that it cannot be even measured or understood or comprehended. I've gone out on a starlit night and looked up and looked at the stars and watched comets and meteorites, and I think, no wonder that song says, "My Lord God, how great thou art." He created it all. He spoke it into existence. He did not have to sit down with a formula, a slide rule, and try to figure out how to make Mars, or figure out how to make Mercury, or make the solar system that we are in today. But he created it all, and he is Lord over it all. He is Lord, and he is in control, and what he says is gospel truth today. He upholds it by the word of his power. I used to know friends that said, "Well, God created it. He just kind of flung it out there, and he's gone, and he sat back." And when they read about how that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, they kind of take it to mean, you know, he has nothing else to do. But think for just a moment. He is still intimately involved in the way that this universe is going. If he wants to move one star over to now, I just love it whenever the scientists get all upset about some star that's gone off its axis and say, "Oh, it shouldn't do that." Well, if God wants to play checkers with his creation, that's his prerogative. Who are we to answer unto him and say, "Who are you to baffle us? I think sometimes it's because God wants us to realize, and even through science, as they look through a telescope, to understand that these things are not in the control of mankind, but they are in His utter control. And He does, even right down to the very minute molecule, God is involved. He holds that seat together. This tissue that I hold my hand, He holds the properties of the fibers together. You can go right down the line. And there is nothing, and the Bible tells us in one place, there is nothing that is made without Him. That's gospel today. The very creation, the heavens speak of the glory of God. And He is the one that holds it all under control. Now, we are in this world, and there is a reason why that God has left us in this world. If we were to go on after that each one of us were saved, I believe, pardon this expression, God would have knocked us in the head and brought us on, glorified our body, and we'd be with Him. But you know, He's left us for a purpose. We find over in Matthew chapter 28, it tells us that we are in the world, but it's our mission to make disciples of all nations, go into all the world, teaching every man, teaching those in every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then He gives us this assurance. He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Whenever that we see things that upset us, whenever that we see things that baffle us today, we know we have a commission. We have a mission today to carry out, to take the gospel. And Jesus said He'd be with us every step of the way. He's not deserted us. We find over in the book of Mark, in the very last chapter, the 16th chapter, it says, "Preach the gospel to all the world," to everyone today, to every creature, to everyone that is the fallen of Adam's race. Now, sometimes they will accept it, and God will plant a seed through that gospel down in their heart. The Holy Spirit will water it. They'll come to a place of repentance and surrender unto God, and they'll be saved. Then there'll be some, like what Paul encountered on Mars Hill, that whenever that gets down right down to the bare facts of the gospel, the resurrection, the death of Christ, they'll be like those Epicureans and Stoics and say, "I don't see how that's possible. My scientific mind cannot comprehend it," and they'll reject it. Do you know, my friend, that Paul made just maybe that many converts in Athens on that hill, and the rest of them were blinded. They could not look beyond material things and material understanding. And that's sometimes what we'll encounter. But there are going to be some that will take heed to it. There'll be some that will realize the truth of it. It'll open their heart before them, and God will reveal unto him himself and where they stand, but the Savior that they need. We find that the Bible tells us over in Luke what we're to preach when we go into the world. He says in one place, he said, "Preach the death, burial." It's in Luke 24 and 46 through 7. "Preach the crucifixion. Preach the resurrection. Preach today the deliverance of Christ for sin, that he can bear your sins upon himself and save your soul." And then he says, here's how you do it. "Preach repentance and remission of sins." That's what Luke has said. That's what we're to do. We're not to try to figure out, oh, you know, let's read this scientist assessment of why people act the way that they do. Let's read this one and see if we can figure out. Do you know you can go into a science library, a medical library, all the way from the turn of the century up to now? Here's a book about what's wrong with humanity. Oh, humanity has done this the next year. Oh, now just disregard these other theories. Here's what humanity is doing. Do you know what the problem with humanity is? And I feel sorry for them today. It's because they're bound in chains of sin and they cannot free themselves. And I know that I've preached this before, but they have this. Remember, they've got this. It's not necessarily a head problem alone. It's a heart problem. It's a problem where that they're empty, where that they have no peace. There is no joy within their hearts. In fact, Isaiah says in one place, he said, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace unto them, saith my God. And my friend, they tried this and they tried that. I don't care today how many operations to change the state that a person was born in, they'll still be the same person afterward with the same problem with sin. Now their body is kind of altered and they've got to deal with that. But now they're going to find that didn't make any difference whatsoever. And that's what many are finding today. They're finding that it has failed them. And you might say today, oh, you're just down on them. No, I'm not, because it's a symptom of what we've all been afflicted with. And I want you to know that the Bible teaches us today that God's desire is that none should perish, but that all should come unto repentance and find Him precious to their never dying soul. It's God's desire for us today when we do this, that we be united. You know, there was one thing about the Continental Army. Some of them marched through snow behind Washington barefooted, frostbite, limbs having to be amputated later, not enough supplies, not enough food, nothing whatsoever. But you know, they had a common goal. They knew that they had to win this war some way, somehow, in order to achieve independence and freedom, one of the freedoms that we have today, where we're here. You know, I cannot imagine what they went through. I can't imagine Washington looking at his troops behind him and wondering, how in the world are we going to do this? But you know, have you ever seen a picture of Washington bowing in the snow before the battle at Valley Forge? He's praying to God. He's praying to God. And you know, my friend, I want you to know those men were united. This is what God wants for us as a church. He wants us to continue to be united in one common goal, in preaching the gospel, presenting the gospel, whether it be to feed somebody who's hungry, whether it be today to go and visit someone who's lonely, whether it be today to encounter that individual in the marketplace and a conversation start up about church or this or that. Do you know if you make yourself available unto God, He'll use you. He'll use you. And if you commit that day unto Him, He will. Now we're to keep the unity, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians. He said, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keep that common cause. Keep that common goal. Because He says there is unity in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. You don't have the Son over here going, well, Dad, you know, can you give me the keys to the car? And you don't have the Holy Spirit saying, well, I'll just kind of come and go as I please. And the Father sitting over here. No, they're united. They are one. People can't understand that today. The great three in one. My friend, don't think of it as 1 + 1 + 1. That does equal 3, and that's 3 separate integers. Think of it today as 1 × 1 × 1. What does that equal? 1. That's how God is today. He is one, and he wants us to be as one. He wants us to be united together. And not that you aren't, but my friend, as the days draw upon us, we're going to need to unite together even more so than we ever have before. There is one body, one God, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is in you all and through you all. That's what he says over in the book of Ephesians. Opinions are going to come and go. Something new. We're just, our society and people are kind of like those Epicureans and Stoics, waiting for something new. Something new. Something new. Maybe something new about God that we never thought of before. Or maybe God is not alone and he's got Buddha up there with him. Or he's got this God up there with him. They're looking for something new. But you know what people need to be looking for is something that's steadfast, immovable, and has stood the test of time, that is eternal and everlasting today. Opinions come and go, but Christ is everlasting. What am I holding in my hand? Salt. Remember what we preached last week? We're to be the salt of the earth. It's a good thing she put tape on that. But we're to be the salt of the earth. How do you like your green beans? Plain or with? Yes, it is a savor. It is something today that gives flavor unto it. Something, my friend, that nourishes, makes you want to nourish the body. Now, don't take into consideration what the doctor has said. I'm just talking about just plain old salt. But it lasts. And it gives savor. They used to, years ago, because they had no refrigeration, used to hang hams up with salt in it. Yeah, you know what that is, don't you? Yeah. Have you ever ate a piece of country ham? Boy, I'll tell you what, you look for ice cold water after you bite into it. But it's good. It's flavorful. Do you know what that is? That's preservation. The reason why that God has left you into this world is preservation. As long as you as a church are in the world is spared in a way because it shows that the Father's will is still the same, that all should come under repentance and to go out into the world. And my friend, for us to be united together. I know I'm driving Brother Dennis crazy back there. I'll try to stand just right. But at any rate, that's what this is. I was going to ask for a volunteer to put in their hand, but I thought otherwise I might get too much. But that's what this is for. And that's what you are today. You give flavor unto this world. Whether you realize it or not, you give to this world preservation. You are the salt of the earth. Now I'm going to throw one more thing in here. When we don't, do you know what we have, what God does? Have you ever had God shake up your salt shaker? Yeah, and he will. And I want to tell you, I'm thankful for that. Because those that are his, he chastises and he gives them the mandate. Brother Tim, could you do me a favor? Now I know we've got sunlight coming through there. Do you know that in absolute darkness you cannot see your face, your hand in front of your face? Have you ever gone into a cave? You don't know where you're going. I had a friend who was a big spelunker. That's a cave explorer. And he said he got caught in a situation where he didn't know if he was going further down into the cave or if he was going to the exit. That's how the world is today. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what to do. My friend, they are in total darkness. But what are we today? And what does that light do? It directs people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes people realize there's something to this that we call Christianity. There is something to this today that can redeem an individual, give him purpose, give him what he stands in need of day by day. Thank you, Brother Tim. Do you understand what I'm saying on that? I'm sorry it wasn't dark enough, but nevertheless, we're to be salt, and no matter what, to be united together. And there used to be a song whenever I was a kid. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but man, I heard this song even like Amazing Grace. The name of the song was The Lower Lights. Man, I can hear him singing in this church that I went to as a kid. Let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam across the way. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. When we let our lights shine united, my friend, it's like a great, mighty lighthouse today that sends a beam out to a lost and dying world. I want you to know that we reflect that. We reflect, like we said the other day, our light before a lost and dying world. Sometimes there are people that we encounter and we really don't care for them, the way they act, the way they do. You know, he may pull out in front of you. I say he. He may pull you out in front of you and cut you off. Or you might hear him swearing every word possible that even a sailor doesn't know how to do. Nothing against sailors. I don't know if anybody was in the Navy here. But anyway, the reputation of that. And sometimes they'll even spew that anger out upon you. Just like they did Jesus. Just like they spit upon him. Just like they buffeted him. And they hit him, and they mocked him, and they called him every name that you could think of in the Roman language, in Latin. But my friend, when he got to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is hard to forgive because the human nature is still with us. But there's where the Paul says in Galatians, we are crucified with Christ. We have died unto sin, and we have been made alive unto God through Christ. But my friend, we have this old flesh to contend with. But you know, when we crucify it, and it's hard, I'll grant you that. It took me 70 years to get to the place to where I understood what that meant. Father, forgive me. Forgive them. Or forgive me as I forgive others. There's a great lesson in that today. But you know, thanks be unto God for my wife that says, whenever I get all bent out of shape about traffic or this or that, she said, Paul, just remember, Jesus died for their sins too. Sometimes it's not so good when they're so right. But I thought about that. It's true. Jesus died for them. You know, we may not like what they do, how they look, how they speak, But Jesus died for them. That's something that when you look at them and you look into their eyes, you're looking into the windows of the soul and realizing today that Christ Jesus died to set them free, if only they'll come unto Him. And find today that our citizenship. Now, whenever the Paul writes this, he says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence that we all look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now I'm not saying that it was wrong the way they wrote this, but the word conversation means citizenship. Citizenship. Our citizenship is not here upon this earth. Our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I give allegiance unto that flag. And brother, I'll tell you what, I just about come unglued whenever that I see somebody on TV burning it or stomping on it. Because, my friend, they're stomping on the blood of many patriots who paid the supreme price for the freedom of them to do what they're doing. But nevertheless, our citizenship is in heaven. God is our King. Christ is our King today. And my friend, we are in allegiance unto Him. He has redeemed us from the very foreless of sin. His relationship unto us is from everlasting to everlasting. It never will change. Therefore, my loyalty is unto Him. Paul calls himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the main thing that he gets across, that Paul does, is let us be united together. Let us strive for that unity. Let us strive for that opportunity to strengthen the bonds, to make us what God wants us to be, what we are and what God wants us to be, for the sake of the light going out into the world, for the sake of them hearing the gospel. Now, I know someone is going to say tonight, today, "Well, I'm one person, I live here, and I can't be a missionary, I can't do this, and I can't do that." And I understand what you're saying, but I want you to know that there was a time whenever that there was a little boy that was carrying a basket with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And there was a need out there of 5,000 people. And how he met up with Andrew, I'll never know. But you know what? He brought that. He just brought it willingly along with Andrew unto Jesus. He didn't say, "Oh, wait a minute. I want to eat these sardines. You know, those people can find for themselves." But no, he brought it willingly. He knew what was going to be used for. And I believe the little guy just kind of stood back. Jesus took that task that he brought. He took those fishes and that bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And do you know they filled up 12 baskets full after that it was all over with? Nothing is impossible with God. And God can use you. He can use all of us today. Close with this thought with you. Let your light shine. Salt the society that we're in. And be united together in one cord of Christian love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Did you know that today? It most certainly does. My friend, if love didn't cover it, I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. We would be sacrificing goats and sheep and wondering if we got the right red heifer. But today, my friend, let's let the light shine, the salt be shaken out of the salt shaker, and let's be united together, draw nigh to one another. My friend, today, I know that we got different personalities. Boy, if you knew the real Paul Cofer, you'd wonder why did we call him into the pulpit. If you knew my past, if you knew what I have been, you would really question it. But today, my friend, it's like brother and sister. We all kind of know each other's misgivings and faults and this and that and the other. I grew up an only child, but I could only watch this from a distance. Boy, you would see brother and sister or brother and brother, whatever, just fight like cats and dogs. But if you go to pick on one of them, I tell you for sure, that sibling is going to come after you. I learned that the hard way. But God bless you is my prayer. God be with each and every one of you. I love you all. I pray that God blesses you abundantly. And as we have a song, if we have a hymn, let's remember we were united together as a nation for a common cause. Let's continue that in our churches and in our fellowship. Let's continue. Let's strive to be united together. We got a great cause, harvesting lost souls.